Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. He's in San Diego. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. I guess we're almost halfway through spring training. We're a good week and a half. Almost 2 weeks into spring training games. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to. I guess since the last time we've talked, I think there have been some changes. Things are maybe starting to crystallize a little bit out there in Peoria. I don't know, Kevin. I'm thinking, what if we started with some of the roster and position battles? They've only played a handful of games so far, but I think we're starting to get an idea of what's up for grabs. What do you think is, you know, right now fair? What do you think is fair game right now, position wise, and how do you think it's shaping up?
I think that really, without a doubt, the most important would be how's the starting rotation play out. And let's go under the assumption that Randy Vasquez is your number four starter after Nick Pivetta, Michael King, Joe Musgrove, and that there's one spot available. And yes, the Padres could. They have what? After they play three games, have a day off, play three more, have a day off. Then they have 10 games in 10 days. And they could, given that Michael King and Joe Musgrove are healthy, but, you know, Joe didn't pitch last year. Michael King threw 72 innings. They could try to a little bit slow play him. They could go to a sixth starter. As a matter of fact, they probably will once, maybe twice then. But to start the season, let's just say it's five. So there's one starting rotation spot available, though another guy is then also trying to show that he'll be ready for that initial call-up. So we're down to Walker Buehler, Tristan McKenzie, you got J.P. Sears, you have just pitched the other day. Anyway, probably should have made some notes, but I will tell you who's not still involved is Matt Waldron.
Yeah, you went from having a manager who wouldn't tell you anything about anybody to having a manager who's telling you almost too much. Matt Waldron had hemorrhoid surgery and is they keep saying – day-to-day, week-to-week kind of situation. Now, that's Mike Schilt era injury update right there. But because aren't we all day-to-day or week-to-week, Kevin? The Matt Waldron thing, to me, as a Matt Waldron admirer, because I love watching a knuckleball, this has to be particularly distressing. He's out of options, needs to either make the big league club or be exposed to waivers. What do you think this means for his future as a Padre?
Right. To be clear, I would like to take this opportunity to say that, you know, I was wondering how to report this because I wasn't going to be specific regarding Matt Waldron's hemorrhoid surgery. And then Craig Stammen said that he had an infection in his rear end. And I felt like, you know, at that point, we've now opened up a can of worms where we need to get specific and talk about that. So that's why we all know what happened with Matt Waldron. And I will say this, Matt Waldron was back today and doing some light kind of stretches, you know, so that he's not going to just be starting over, because there's a really good chance that he's going to start the season on the injured list. And that's significant because Matt Waldron's out of options, can't be sent to the minor leagues without clearing waivers, meaning that another team could pick him up. He could have had a really good spring and made, you know, been that fifth starter, but he's not going to have that chance now because he's not going to be back in games until, you know, maybe the last week of spring. And so they will have the opportunity to put him on the IL, and then we'll see where that goes with Matt. So right. I still am saying Walker Buehler. You've got Germán Márquez. I didn't mention him earlier. Look, Tristan McKenzie, J.P. Sears have to pitch better than they did in their first outings. Marco Gonzalez, that's the other name I was looking for. Marco Gonzalez, a veteran left-hander, has to pitch better. Walker Buehler, who should get in a game here pretty soon, I would think he's got the upper hand going in. They like what they've seen so far, trying to work on some mechanical things with him. But it's really up for grabs right now.
Right, it is. And again, this is not counting Griffin Canning, who won't be ready until later into the spring and maybe early summer. So that could be a shot in the arm as they near sort of trade deadline time, something around there. Kevin, I would argue to you that it is important that you indicate when a pitcher is injured and out for a while that it's not an arm injury. And, you know, maybe, yes, Craig Stammen was a little TMI there. But I think that, you know, just for fans and people who are paying attention, you know, if this isn't something sort of that could affect his pitching, I think it's sort of, you know, probably smart for the team to come out and say, whoa, 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 whoa. It's not an elbow.
It's really not that big a deal. We're all adults, right? I mean, this stuff happens, right? But yeah, I think I was going to say a lower body issue that does not have to do with his arm, or I mean, I don't know, you know, or his won't affect his pitching once he recovers. I honestly, Craig saved me from having to figure out how to talk around it when, look, the reality is, look, does anyone like to talk about this sort of stuff? No, but no. Stuff happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk injuries and recovery a little bit here. We got Joe Musgrove just threw a bullpen. We have something up on the website right now documenting that. Michael,
right, a simulated game.
Simulated game, I'm sorry. And yep. You've got Michael King coming back from a very strange shoulder injury a year ago. Where are both of those guys as we sit here on February the 26th?
Right, and both are healthy. And the only thing being they didn't – well, Joe didn't pitch at all, and Michael King didn't pitch much last year in – obviously in relation to what they would like him to have pitched and like him to pitch this year. So like I said, I could see some times where early on they have stretches of games, 12, 13 in a row, that 10 in a row in April, where they, you know, call up another arm and play the whole option game with relievers and all that to try to make sure that these guys are healthy September, October. But Michael King looked really good. And I talked to him today, some really interesting stuff about, you know, pitching not healthy and then the difference pitching healthy. And it's, you know, it's really remarkable. Just the idea that, I mean, these guys are so far above us, beyond us physically and mentally when it comes to competition, that they're still human though. And it's hard when you're pitching. And now Joe's going through this thing now where he's healthy, but he's still thinking all the time. Not like, oh, am I hurt? But like, okay, he kind of has changed his mechanics and he's learning a few things. And he's like, okay, so am I doing that right? And so it is a process. And that's what they're both going through. But Michael King clearly yesterday in his first, when we're taping this on Thursday, so Wednesday in his first Cactus League start, was much closer to the Michael King that you expect to see than the one that we saw last year, when not only that nerve issue, but then, you know, pushed himself to get back and ended up kind of, you know, hurting his knee. And so that's all behind him.
Yep. One of the most interesting things I've read from you and Peoria, Kevin, is Jason Adam told you that he actually feels better now than he did a year ago coming into spring. And that is after undergoing what I can only imagine is a horrible recovery from having a quadricep essentially explode on him. It's just further proof that these guys are always dealing with something, right? Is that, and you wouldn't know it by looking at him, but he was hurting even as recently as last spring.
Well, he was working on some stuff last spring. So he feels better pitching this year because he has been throwing bullpen since early December. So he feels further ahead in his pitch shapes, his mechanics than he did last year. He has just a week ago started change of direction stuff in a really light way where like, Scott Happ or Jay Young, the physical therapist, strength conditioning coach will like go like this to the right, go like this to the left, and he'll change direction. He's yet to really do what they call PFP, pitcher's fielding practice, as far as I know, unless he did it today. And so that will come. Then we'll get some sim games where they can control in the back field what he does. And then maybe that last week, like three Cactus League appearances, and Jason Adams' assumption and what he's tracking in his mind is then opening day, he's ready.
Right. Kevin, real quick, I'm going to ask you about some of the right-handed bats that are in camp. That's Nick Castellanos. That's Ty France. Hold on one second. I'm sorry.
Miguel Andujar.
So I have a mental block with the name Miguel Andujar. You know what? I'll throw Jose Miranda in there too, because he has a little big league experience. What have we seen from those four guys in the last week, and how are things going there?
Well, Nick Castellanos has looked good at first base. I mean, and then made an error yesterday, which you would expect. There's a lot of things that you're playing a position you've never played before. It's a different throw than he used to make as a third baseman, which he hasn't been in 8 years. And it's obviously a different throw from the outfield. And he, you know, he just sent it to the wrong place. There's some anticipation things. And these are real concerns. That's not anything against Nick Castellanos or anything. This is your teaching a guy how to play a new position in the major leagues in spring training. It can be done, but this is something to watch. A guy can still, you know, he can still put together an at bat. Can he still hit? We'll wait till the regular season to see that. Ty France still has that ability to see pitches, and you know, that he takes a very, very good at bat. Andujar, a little rough in the field, but that's not why you signed him. And what's funny is, okay, so Andujar's going to be on the team. He's making $4 million. Castellanos is going to be on the team. You went and got him, and you know where he fits in, playing some first base, serving as a DH. These are compliments, he and Andujar, to the left-handed hitting Gavin Sheets. I think there's one spot available on the roster, the 13th spot, the either extra outfielder, which they don't really need, or because of the flexibility of certain guys, or the extra infielder, which they don't really need because of the flexibility of some guys. So it could be that, but it's like, do you want also to have a speed element for pinch running? Do you want a defensive element, like for play, replacing Jackson Merrill in center field when he is having a DH day or a day off? Now, do you need that at the start of the season? Maybe not. So Bryce Johnson, is that working against him? Do you need an extra infielder when you have Cronenworth who can play shortstop, Song who can play three positions? You got a bunch of first basemen, or does Mason McCoy figure in there because both he and Bryce Johnson can run? Is it Jose Miranda because he ends up hitting 700 in spring and this guy was a legit major leaguer? He can play the corner positions, but that's it. And then if it's France or Miranda, who's your late inning pinch runner on second base or on first base or something? Like, so that is a fascinating spot, and that's what spring training is about and what we'll find out over the next month.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm among the people who think Bryce Johnson brought a lot to the table last year. Hit over 300, defensive replacement. We'll forget for a minute that he made the final out of the playoff elimination game because it was a spot he probably shouldn't have been in to begin with. They used him well, and they used him a lot, but there's a different manager, maybe some different strategic things. That's yet to be seen. Maybe some different substitution patterns or usage patterns. Like, man, it's a good problem to have. Don't get me wrong. Too many major leaguers, not enough spots. These things tend to work themselves out.
I also want to point out Asmod Taylor is a guy who has the tools that Bryce Johnson has and plays all three outfield positions. Started off hitting pretty well. I thought in Tuesday against the Cubs in Mesa, 0-for-3, had three good at-bats. Ran down a ball. I didn't get the stats on it, but then had it go out of his glove. But like tracked down a ball, dove for it, and then had it go out of his glove. Like Samad Taylor, I think, is a viable option. A guy who's played the past 3 years, not a whole lot, but has played over the past 3 years in the major league. So they do have depth. They have spring training depth, and we'll see what happens in the next month.
Well, and it's a good thing that they have spring training depth because a bunch of their best players are leaving for the World Baseball Classic and they need to field a roster every day. Kevin, talk about that. You wrote about this last week a little bit. What lessons did they learn from the last WBC and how do you expect this year to be different?
Right. Like it's four relievers, including your closer, who are going to get good work against, you know, good hitters. So that's good. And then it's your right fielder, Fernando Tatis Jr., and the left side of your infield, Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts. And so Sungmin Song will get a lot of work. Mason McCoy will get a lot of work. Maybe you get Cronenworth over at short one day. So that's nice. You're going to get those, you know, there's going to be an outfield spot missing, you know, every other day or, you know, at some point here where Tatis might have played two in a row. So, yeah, some guys are going to get some work. What did they learn in 2023? It's so interesting. Like, they were not prepared for the season, and it was just a confluence of events. There was the pitch clock that was coming into play. And Nelson Cruz, Juan Soto, Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado started the season, and it was really noticeable, obviously, with Manny Machado and Juan Soto. They weren't used to it. We were in June. I think that's maybe it was May that we're in New York, and these guys are complaining about the pitch clock and how they haven't figured it out. They're taking timeouts before they're at bats. Like, it was a problem, and the Padres did not proactively work on that. And I think that under Mike Schilt, they would have, and now under Craig Stammen, they would have. A lot of guys have talked about, and look, I'm not blaming Bob Melvin, and I'm not blaming the WBC on the Padres' terrible start to the season that they never recovered from. But it was a factor. And Bob was a guy who didn't manage the details, and his staff didn't manage the details the way that Mike Schilt did. And now Craig Stammen and his staff are managing the details. They were wholly unprepared for some things. And the chemistry of the team, if you remember, that was a very Manny-centric team. And you had the dominant personality of Juan Soto, and everybody knew it. And those guys were gone for 2.5 weeks, and the rest of the guys didn't step up, like, in terms of filling that void and creating a culture or whatever. I've written about it, the leadership council, the more crowdsourcing of the leadership, that'll help them this time. They're just better prepared this time. Plus, yes, there's the ABS coming in, which will not be in the WBC, but that's not as big a deal as the pitch clock. You have Jackson Merrill, Gavin Sheets, Joe Musgrove, Michael King, Nick Pivetta, guys who are leaders in that room. And now it's also up to, let's say that the Dominican goes to the finals and Tatis and Machado are all geeked up, man. They've been playing real games for their country for 2 weeks. And then you come back to spring training. Right. And it's just like this letdown. And then, oh, man, the season starts in a week. So it's important to them to continue that, you know, intensity. And they know that. They've talked about it.
Yep. You don't need to start hot to make the playoffs in baseball. But, Kevin, God, it makes it easier, doesn't it? It's the story of last season. This was a 500 baseball team from what, mid-May on, right? But because they started hot, they made the playoffs. 2023, they were a super hot baseball team towards the end of the regular season. But because they started so slowly, they didn't make the playoffs. So very important to be dialed in here in the next month, 6 weeks, something like that. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. Today is no different. Give me one guy you've seen where you go, maybe he's a guy in spring training.
Randy Vasquez.
Really?
Now, I'm probably not addressing the specifics of your question, like, oh, maybe he's the guy. But Randy just looks really good, and he deserves to sort of get the nod right now. He was out of shape last spring. They worked on getting him in shape. That sort of hurt him in the season, and he ended up having one heck of a season. And, you know, for a guy that was barely their number five starter, a sub-4 ERA, his underlying numbers improved at the end, his velocity improved at the end, and he's brought it into spring training. And Randy Vasquez deserves that, you know, that sort of recognition at this point. It's hard not to be impressed by what Mason Miller can get out of bed and do. There's that. Xander looks really good. Sun Mung Song, and I think it probably is reflected in my writing that on him and how he needs to adjust to major league pitching, that expectations should be tempered for him. But there's no doubt that he can play in the field, and he's a physical specimen. There's that. That's it. I will say that the more that I've covered the Padres as a real team, and a team with fewer questions and roster spots, and you're not wondering about the outfield competition between two guys I love, Travis Jankowski, Hunter Renfroe, and three guys you've never heard of. But it's more like, hey, who's the 13th spot? You know, and where's the depth at? And you're talking about how October is going to be a real thing and be important. kind of get less caught up. I remember charting like live batting practices in 2019, right? And it's like, how about I wait to see these guys in a Cactus League game? How about we wait till April to draw some judgments about this team? Because, you know, they're getting ready at their own pace, these guys. Manny looks terrible. He looks terrible most springs. You know, one of the best players in history. So spring's a funny time.
Spring is a funny time. And Kevin, thank you so much. I know that it's not easy to cover sometimes too, right? I mean, it's 6 weeks in Peoria, Arizona, a lot of chain restaurants, a lot of early mornings. But thank you for everything you've been doing so far. And again, if you are not a subscriber, now is a good time to subscribe. There are great deals out there. Go to our website.
$1 for 100 years.
Yes. San Diego Union Tribune. Subscribe now. You'll get access to all of our Padres stuff. That is 3, sometimes 4 stories a day, and it's February. Kevin, it's February. And then Kevin's incomparable Padres newsletter once the regular season gets going. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.